这集节目感谢 Mass Network 赞助播出。社交平台是我们记录生活的地方，每隔一段时间就有新平台冒出头。在我小时候，台湾人最常用的是无名小站，后来搬家到脸书，现在大家改用 IG、 Twitter 或 TikTok， 但这不是终点，未来势必还要再次搬家。或许有人已经把搬家视为理所当然，但 Mass Network 认为搬家不该是常态，社交账号应该要像电话号码一样可以带着走，而且全球电信商还可以彼此互通。 Mass Network 是去中心化社交生态系的领导者，他们打造 Next ID 串接你的社交账号，用它登入 Firefly App 就能聚合所有内容，让你轻松掌握不同社交网络的最新动态。如果你也不希望未来再次搬家，推荐你动手试试。此外，现在 Mass Network 还有一项资助方案，目前已经帮助将近100项专案的建设者共同打造去中心化社交生态系。如果你有好点子，可以在节目叙述栏位中找到资助申请连结，让 Mass Network 助你一臂之力。Hello， 大家好，欢迎大家来到区块市的 Podcast， 我是区块市的作者许明恩。那先简单介绍一下区块市哦，区块市一个礼拜会出刊两封的 email 给付费的会员，那其中一封就是你现在听到的区块市 Podcast。 那另外一封我们在讨论什么呢？这个礼拜我们讨论的是 EigenLayer 共享以太坊安全性与系统风险的定时炸弹。EigenLayer 其实是最近我发现在网络上面大家忽然开始讨论起来的一个新兴的题目，但我自己会觉得绝大多数人应该跟我开始研究 EigenLayer 之前的状态一样，就是虽然看了这个东西，但是实际上不太知道它到底在做什么，只知道它未来要有一些这个代币的空头，然后于是大家开始有一些 FOMO 的情绪，然后会想说要怎么样才不会错过这个空头的机会。那如果再进阶一点的人呢，你可能会知道说啊，那我好像有听过一个名词叫做 restake 或是 restaking， 于是你可能就会把你的这个以太币或者是你的放在 Lido 里面的 STETH 转过来交给 EigenLayer， 但是它到底确切在做什么，以及它背后有哪些风险，其实是绝大多数人不太清楚的。所以我在这篇文章呢就先从这个比特币开始说起。我说比特币它是一个为数位世界引入去中心化信任的一个创新。那什么是去中心化信任呢？我在这个文章里面用结婚来当成比喻哦，结婚大家肯定都很熟悉，大家结婚的时候除了要去政府登记之外，在习俗上还要办婚礼昭告亲友。那在政府登记呢，它就是一个中心化的信任。那如果你要昭告亲友呢，每一个人都知道说啊，那许明恩结婚了，这是另外一种去中心化的信任。那只要有办过婚礼就知道说直接去政府登记是很简便的流程，但是举办婚礼是一个耗时费力然后又很花钱的一件事情哦。所以我们就用这个例子来当成是说明，其实要建立去中心化信任它是相对成本高昂的。于是有的人呢，像后来的以太坊，他就开始说啊，那未来要想要打造一些新的应用，你就不需要再重新建一条链，然后要招募自己的矿工，而是你用大家共同的这个矿工就可以了。但是像现在还有除了以太坊之外的很多新兴的区块链，例如 Solana、 Avalanche 或者是 Cosmos 等等的，那他们都会有自己的矿工。于是现在有一个新的 project 叫 EigenLayer， 他就跳出来说啊，那如果我们可以把矿工打包成模组化，然后让它变成是一种信任级服务让其他人来用，那就可以让去中心化的信任变得更有效率。那所以我们这篇文章就在讨论说 EigenLayer 它到底是如何做到这件事情的，以及这么做虽然提升了 以太币质押者的资本效率，就是你的资金除了本来抵押在这个以太坊抵押在 Lido 上面可以获得一些质押的奖励之外，未来还可以多获得一些额外的收益去赚外快。但是这有什么样的风险吗？所以我们在这篇文章我自己会说它的风险是非常确定的，我甚至会说它就是一个系统风险的定时炸弹。好，所以我们这篇文章就来讨论这个主题。如果大家对于这个题目有兴趣的话呢，欢迎你到 Google 上面搜寻区块市趋势的市，你就可以找到所有的内容了。也欢迎大家用付费订阅来支持区块市的营运。那我们今天呢要来讨论一个我觉得是延续最近几集都在讨论的去中心化身份的主题。那我们今天要讨论的是 Sign in with Ethereum， 就是以太坊登入。那我们今天同样是越洋连线哦，邀请到现在人在美国的 Wan 张来跟我们讨论这个主题。我们先请 Wan 跟大家打声招呼。
Hi Astro, thank you so much for letting me be here on your show and letting me conduct it in English. I hope that will provide good translations for people who need it. But yeah, I'm really excited to talk about signing with Ethereum and Spruce ID, my company that we started in 2020 to tackle the challenges of identity that's user controlled. Excited to get started.
大家相信已经听得出来哦，就是我刚刚完全没有任何的翻译，然后Wan 其实是听得懂的，他爸爸是台湾人，然后所以他其实听得懂一些中文，然后其实也可以说中文，对不对？
Yeah, 对 Yeah, so my dad's from Taiwan and my mom's from the US and I was born and raised in the US, so heritage speaker.
对，所以我们今天进行的形式其实会是用这样的方式啦。那我主要是用中文的方式来问 Wan， 有可能有一些东西是我自己像 Sign in with Ethereum， 我可能就是一样会讲英文哦。所以就是用这样的方式来进行这一集的内容这样子。可不可以跟大家简单介绍一下，就是关于你自己是怎么进到 crypto 这个领域，然后又是怎么开始你现在这间公司 Spruce ID 跟在开发 Sign in with Ethereum 这个服务？
Yeah, of course. So I got my start in the cryptocurrency and blockchain ecosystem working at a company called Consensus. They produce MetaMask and Fura, a lot of the tools in the Ethereum ecosystem historically.There, I was very interested in new economic models that use tokens and other kinds of systems to basically incentivize good behaviors, and quickly realized that identity was a really, really important piece to create more efficient markets, to create people's data freedom, ability to control one's data. So I really pursued that and worked on the identity part at Consensus before starting Spruce ID, which we take a lot of the same principles of user-managed data and identity and try to have market-ready solutions for them.
最近区块市接连的几集 podcast 都在讨论关于这种去中心化身份，或者是把数据从企业或者是政府的手上拿回来，然后让它变成是个人的身份。其实我在可能一两三年前就是在看 Sign in with Ethereum， 其实区块市之前写过这样一篇文章。那时候为了写这篇文章，其实就是在网络上面看 Wan 的 YouTube 的内容当成参考，才知道说哦，大概知道它是怎么样的概念。但是我也要跟大家承认，就是现在文章可能已经写了一两年，然后我又觉得有点不是很确定 Sign in with Ethereum 到底是什么样的东西。尤其在最近前面几集小猪我们邀请他来讨论这种他的脸书账号被封锁，于是后来他使用的所有的 social login 通通都被断掉了，然后他没有办法登入。或者是最近台湾数位部提出来的数位皮夹的概念，他也是用 DID 的机制来做这件事情。这种 DID 都是在 WAN 核心的守备范围啦。但可不可以请 Wan 跟我们简单介绍一下 Spruce ID 这间公司，它跟 Sign in with Ethereum 到底是一个什么样的东西？可不可以给大家一个简单的介绍，什么是 Sign in with Ethereum， 然后它跟我们本来现在很常用的 email 密码登入或者是 social login 有什么样的不同？
Sign in with Ethereum is a way for Ethereum users to log into a website with their existing keys. And if you already have an Ethereum account, it gives you the ability to sign in to a website without having to remember another password, without sharing your email, and you can log in with your Ethereum account. Historically, Ethereum accounts are mostly used to create Ethereum transactions, whether that's a trade or sending some assets around or triggering a smart contract.But sign in with Ethereum allows Ethereum accounts to sign into a website without paying any gas costs. And this is useful because it is the best user experience for many Ethereum users. We started it as a community-led effort. If you look at YouTube, you can find all the videos where we developed this in the open, got feedback from everyone, and understood what the needs were for dApps that wanted their users to log in, right? Because when you're using a dApp today,You might click Connect Wallet, right? But that doesn't necessarily show you exactly who you are. Anyone can spoof that, right? When you click Connect Wallet, it's your browser claiming to be a certain address. There's no proof that you actually control the address. So you can spoof someone else's address with that. So what Sign In with Ethereum does is it lets you show the website that, hey, I'm actually really the account holder, and I can log in and create a session with you.And this allows you to basically store things when you log into websites, things like if you like light mode or dark mode, what tokens you like to, you know, use in the application, any other preferences, or things that you don't want to write to a public blockchain. It's very constructive to have sessions, and it helps us get to better UX, much more towards what people are used to in Web 2.Where everything is instant, you don't have to reload all your preferences, and it works even across different devices. So what I'll add to that is the mission of Spruce ID is to let users control their data across the web. Instead of people signing into platforms, we think platforms should sign into people's data vaults that they control entirely. And one of the best ways that we know how to do that is for people to operate cryptography, to have keys that they can use to digitally sign things.Right? Because if you can't digitally sign something, then you're always relying on someone else to do that for you, whether that's a big login provider or a big bank to do your financial transactions. Somewhere there's digital signature or trusted data records being moved around, right? But it's not you who's signing it directly. So for people who have blockchain wallets and Ethereum accounts, they can sign things on behalf of themselves. We use this to create login.
很有趣哦，因为这个是大家在过去这段时间，或如果你有除了把这个加密货币从交易所里面领出来放到自己的钱包里面之外，你还有去跟一些 DApp， 例如说 Uniswap 或者是 Compound 或者是 Curve 等等的 DApp 去使用的话，你其实会遇到一个很常见的 button， 就是很常见的按钮。Connect Wallet、yeah. 但是 Connect Wallet 到底是什么东西呢？我觉得刚刚的 Wan 的解释很清楚、哦、就是你 Connect Wallet 然后他会要你说、Approve 这个基本上是有点像网站要问你说哎，请问你是谁，然后你就填写、许明恩就结束了。然后 Connect Wallet 基本上可以说只是把这一个你自己填写 address 的这个动作自动化而已，而他没有真的去确认说你这个人是谁，或者是没有去透过这种签名的方式去确认说诶，你是不是真的控制这一个钱包。我不知道是不是可以这么说。
Yeah, I think so. I think you got it. Basically, there's no digital signature part. I could say, you know, I'm Astro or I'm Wayne. And when you click Connect Wallet,there's no checks being done, right? So the only checks that are happening when you interact with most dApps today is when you actually click create the blockchain transaction. And either you create that by signing the transaction directly, or you have a smart contract make one for you on your behalf. That's called a smart account.
但是我其实马上会有一个疑问，就是如果 Uniswap 或 Compound 他们没有先确认说诶，我是不是钱包的持有者，那例如说他想要换代币，或者是他想要做 lending 或者是 borrowing， 那他可以在没有确认我是钱包持有者的身份的情况之下 我们就可以直接这样子跟它互动吗？
Yeah, so when you use your blockchain accounts to make blockchain transactions, you're trusting that your wallet is telling you the right thing for that blockchain transaction. So for something like a trade, that could work pretty well. But what you don't have is a layer above that of trusted interactions with the website. When you're trying to rely on, if you want to add a private message feature to a dApp,you really need to know that that's the person that is logging in. So therefore, that's how they can send messages. And also how we think it should work is when you sign in, maybe the dApp doesn't host your data at all. Instead, maybe you sign off on some permissions for that data to be taken from your data vault and then put into the session.Right. And then we have a very decentralized computing model where not only are you sending transactions to a blockchain, but also when you interact with a dApp, it's pulling data from a place of your choosing. So you get to choose where your data live and how it gets to the dApp. And signing with Ethereum is extensible to allow for that interaction too.
所以我可以说像是这个 Sign with Ethereum, 它是一种 Connect Wallet 的升级版本。它等于是让使用者在网站上面可以有更多的互动。因为网站本来它只是知道说哦你说你是 Astro, 你是 Wen, 但是我不真的知道你到底是谁。于是我很难做一些客制化的服务或者是说记录你的 preference。我不知道是不是可以这么说，然后如果是的话，那这样子它到底跟过去的 Web2 的行为它是怎么去对比？
Yeah, with things that build on top of Connect Wallet, like signing with Ethereum and beyond, you know, how do we get towards the Web2 experience of, you know, the rich feature sets we expect and the connectivity across different users, right? Because a lot of the transactions, it'sNot necessarily the best idea to use the public blockchain for if you can't have something be all public. Imagine having all your private messages be on a public blockchain. That's not good because you're expecting that those are private, right? Even if something as simple as trying to write a blog post or if you have a draft blog post, most writers don't want to have their drafts on the public internet for everyone to see, right? Especially if they just started to work it out.But now it's like, what if I want to, you know, collaborate with someone else and have them edit my draft like it were Google Docs? So I think that what is a very interesting model is allowing other people to access your data vault or wherever it's hosted and being able to grant those permissions with your Ethereum address. So if you sign in with your favorite login provider today, like whether that's Google, Apple, or Facebook, and the website says, okay, you're signing in with your account,Further, what resources can we access from your account? Maybe they can access your photos or your documents or something. And I think today there's a problem with siloing. There will never, like one login provider will never let you take your files from a different provider because that's outside of their ecosystem, right? But our theory is that those are your files. It shouldn't matter what you're using to log in with. It should just be available for you to use.So being able to really own your Ethereum account and then use these different protocols that do the same thing, whether it's files, photos, or even APIs that you control, we think that that's how it should work. And signing with Ethereum is really the first step towards that.
我不知道是不是可以这样子类比。就是它蛮像是 email 的这样的状态。就是你有你的 Gmail...但是你其实可以下载不同的 client, 就是例如说 Outlook, Yahoo Mail, 或者是 Portmail, 你都可以当成你的收信的 app。但是其实无论你用哪一个软体去登入，你里面的 email 其实都是一样的。那只是现在 Signing with Ethereum 可以让类似这样的一个功能搬到 Web3, 或者是说在这边实现不只有 email, 因为 email 就它只是大家生活的一部分嘛，那其实我们更常使用的是 Google Drive 或者是其他的服务。我不知道有没有类似这样的例子可以让大家可以理解说，哦，那所以现在 Sign in with Ethereum 它已经可以让大家用在哪些地方。
Yeah, so we saw a lot of adoption with the dApps and being able to sign in with Ethereum. And that's how the adoption started. A lot of dApps just wanted to agree on best practices on how to sign in to improve security and convenience for their users. And then eventually we saw the wallets noticed that there was enough adoption in the applications. And they basically decided to support sign in with Ethereum and add many important security features and some privacy features for their users. So basically, if you implement sign in with Ethereum on the wallet side, then you can check the right URL and it's not the wrong website you're trying to log into, right? So the wallet can do that for you automatically and let you know if it's wrong. The wallet can also make sure that you're not being a man in the middle attacked, and that basically when you sign in, you know what you're doing and what information you're disclosing. Before wallets had sign-in with Ethereum support, it just looked like a long text message that was user-readable, and many people would read it and evaluate. But now wallets like MetaMask and others do support sign-in with Ethereum in the protocol because we published it as an open standard that's Creative Commons, EIP 4361, and anyone can implement it. And that's what Spruce ID does. We maintain several implementations across different programming languages for signing with Ethereum.
我们最终的目标是希望让这个 Web3 的 data 或者是有很多的内容，尤其像我觉得刚刚 Wen 举的这个例子，就是我最希望有的，就是我在写文章的时候，例如说我现在是放在 Substack 上面，但是我是希望不同的内容平台都可以存在，而且让大家都可以读得到，它不应该被锁在特定的平台上面。但是至少现在还不是这样，这是最终的情况。但是现在 Sign-in with Ethereum 可以做什么呢？这个好像也蛮有趣的，因为刚刚 Joanne 的说法应该是它可以有点像你曾经在这个网站有登入过，于是你比较容易分辨这个到底是一个钓鱼网站，不太确定确切的流程，或者是说大家会看到的差别会是什么。就是如果它是一个 phishing website， 那以前我可能就是那它看起来很像是 Uniswap， 但是它其实不是，那我就 connect wallet approve， 结果资产就不见了。那如果它是一个 sign with Ethereum， 使用者他在哪一步的时候会忽然发现啊，这个就是一个 faking website，而不是我之前使用过的东西。
Yeah, so I think you're hitting on a problem that's still pretty tough in the internet to solve today, right? So basically, you're asking, at what point can we prevent a phishing attack with sign-in with Ethereum? Well, if you went to uniswap.org or the app website and it asks you to sign in, if it didn't have a valid certificate, someone was man in the middle attacking you, it would be able to detect that if there was wallet support. And it would be able to say, hey, this website isn't who they're saying they are, right? So a common attack might be if you go to fakeuniswap.com and it tries to forward a message from uniswap.org to you to sign so it could get it back and, you know, complete the interaction and then hijack your session. Mm-hmm. That would be detectable. However, mm-hmm. what the wallet will present to you if fakeuniswap.com presents a sign-in with Ethereum to fakeuniswap.com, well, it's going to ask the user to look at that website URL and decide for themselves, right? So this is where I think some additional protections have been provided by the wallet. For example, some wallets will flag known bad sites that have scammed people, and they'll actually just either refuse to connect or display a big warning that, hey, this is a known fraudulent website, and you should probably only connect at your own risk. So I think that there's layers of security around it. Sign-in with Ethereum is one protocol. It doesn't solve everything, but it provides a way for Ethereum users to, you know, log into a website and have a session.
因为你纯粹只有连接钱包的话，那你其实就会不真的知道说就是连接的到底是一个什么样的东西。但是如果你是之前有登入的话，那他肯定会告诉你说你现在在登入的到底是 uniswap.com 或者是 uniswap.org， 那他就没有办法去伪装说啊，那他其实是谁谁谁这样子，而是他必须要呈现一个正确的 URL。
Yeah, exactly. And I think this touches on another important topic related to digital identity, or I call them, you know, statements about reality that are digitally signed. So basically, in the model where you might have a data vault, your data vault can contain a bunch of different digital credentials. They're digital statements about things. And some of those digital statements might say that I trust this website and think it's legitimate. And maybe that's a statement that your friend made or an organization you trust, like a foundation, made. And you can accept all those statements as your base layer. Those can be signed JSON packets. Those can be on a blockchain somewhere. A lot of protocols like the Lens protocol on Aave and Ethereum attestation service have emerged to solve this problem, to be able to express these statements on chain. You'd be able to pull some of these lists and combine it with your session, right? And understand if that's something you trust.
这是一个白名单的概念，对不对 ？Whitelist， 因为大家之所以在网络上面很容易被骗，或者是容易被钓鱼，就是因为你期待大家去辨认 URL 的 alphabet， 说你要确认它是 Uniswap、yeah. 而不是啊 UN1Swap， 或者是 Google 而不是 G00GLE。
I like to think of them not as black or white or allow or deny lists.I think what's most useful is if you're able to understand the context of it. I think what's very powerful is to just start with deny lists, websites that are known bad and reported, so the default can be permissionless. You can just access things and start using them until there's history of things. But you might have another condition that says, if I'm going to spend over $1,000 on a blockchain transaction somewhere, then it better be on this other list that I have of things that are known good.And if it's not on the list of things that are known good, then I want extra scrutiny. I want to be able to click through, do my research. I want more friction. So, and I think that what's really important about this is that it should be a combination of the user assisted by their wallet able to determine what's the right list for them. So you're not having one authority set all the lists for everyone, but really it's the user, because someone who uses the blockchain to trade assets might have a different experience than someone who just wants to use it for social networking, right? And based on what they're interested in using it for, there might be a better way to, you know, protect people while still giving them their autonomy.
我觉得到这边已经开始超出我自己本身对于今天这个访谈的想象了，因为我在最一开始或者是跟大家基本上都是一样，就是说 sign in with Ethereum 就是反正就是登入嘛，那Web3 登入，但是其实现在开始它的这些新的功能，无论是这个你可以有一个 list， 这是你朋友传给你的，或者是例如说区块市在讨论一些鼓励大家去动手操作的时候，那我就会列一个列表给你，那你基本上你的钱包可以使用这个列表，于是你就基本上不会签错。但是这样的功能其实是跟我们以前，如果大家对于这种 MetaMask 也很熟悉的话，以前你就是登入哪有什么，它就是一个动作而已，它没有太多额外衍生出来的新的功能。但是现在这一个刚刚 Wen 说的这一个机制，它其实已经越来越复杂了，也就是说这个登入的这个行为当然最后还是你个人去按这个按钮了，但是它可以去参考别人已经替你整理好的这个东西，这个我觉得跟以前我们现在在 Web2 操作的登入好像有点不太一样，对不对？
Yeah, I'd say it's a lot more peer-to-peer. Let me give you one example. Let's say that we're making an application for peer-to-peer chat, right? So I want to send you an encrypted message, right? So what might actually happen is I will sign in with Ethereum to the chat session.Not a website, but our chat session. And you'll sign in with Ethereum to your part of it, right? And that is basically proof that, okay, we're talking to the authentic individuals here, right? So as a result, we can use that. But now if we extend sign in with Ethereum to also bring in your data vault, you might have credentials in your data vault. You might have a statement that says someone attested that your Twitter account is basically your same as your Ethereum account.So you can bring in your Twitter account as part of the interaction. You might even like bring in your GitHub account or other history, other blockchain accounts you own. You can bring evidence of those as digital credentials as part of the session, all before we message each other. So that way, when I see Astro wants to talk and Astro says, oh no, I'm in like a difficult situation. I need you to send me $5,000 right away, right? Then I have more information to assess if you're really in trouble and I should try and like find the Kickstarter to help you. Or it's like, oh wait, they didn't present any credentials that I would expect Astro to have. Maybe this is like a scammer, right? So it helps for trusted peer-to-peer communication too.
我觉得这个非常有趣哦，而且也开始讨论到我们今天的另外一个很重要的主题，就是这件事情它已经不是单纯的登入就可以解决，就是以前大家就是这个行为，但是这个操作它是不是，如果我希望可以在我的钱包里面储存越来越多的 credential， 或者是有越来越多的这些资料，诶，它好像需要有智慧合约帮忙，那这可能会跟 account abstraction 有关系。第二件事情是，如果我里面有非常多的资料，全部都是由我自己保管，那我就会很担心我这些资料万一弄丢了，那这跟这个钱包弄丢了是一样麻烦。那我到底要怎么去找回来，然后怎么避免这件事情发生？这其实也是现在 wallet security 里面有很多的讨论，希望帮助大家用 social recovery 或者是用其他的方式去找回你弄丢的钱包。我不知道刚才说的这个状况是不是跟我们接下来要讨论的 account abstraction 账户抽象化有关系，然后它有什么样的应用。
Yeah, so how is this related to account abstraction and what will we see as account abstraction evolves?Let's agree on what account abstraction is, because we've seen a lot of different characterizations of account abstraction, but I'll talk about some of the main features I would consider relevant to account abstraction. And there is an EIP out there that a lot of people are looking at and implementing. But when I say account abstraction, I talk about a few main features. The first feature is the idea that you don't have to be tied to a root key.A lot of people in the old school cryptocurrency days were like, okay, this is your seed phrase, your root key. Don't lose this. Protect it with your life, right? But the problem is not many people are good at that. Time and time again, we see that end users are not good at key management. You need really a lot of discipline or really good organizational policies to do key management, right? It's not easy. So I think that accepting that people will lose keys.Right. Okay. Well, if that's the case, and everyone's lost passwords before, so why wouldn't we lose keys? Right. So what can we do when we're in a world where people lose keys? Well, maybe have a lot of these that you could lose or ways that you could recover or operate things. Right. Like I have a friend who built a company that made these rings, like these jewelry rings that held private keys and had secure elements.Right? Really cool. So in yeah. some way, like imagine if you wanted to do a really big transaction at your bank, your smart contract, you have to bring all 10 of your rings and you have to like hold something. And, you know, there's you'd sign multi-sig and that'd be enough for a big transaction. But if you're trying to buy a cup of coffee, you only need like one of them, right? Like rings of power or something. That would be awesome. And that's the kind of thing that account abstraction allows you to do. So if you lose one of your rings, you might be able to go somewhere and like swap in a new one if you have enough of them. Or you might use social recovery. You bring a really trusted friend that's part of your account.So that dynamic use of it, I think, is a big part of account abstraction and making blockchain accounts generally useful, not just for people who go out and buy a hardware wallet or know how to custody their seed phrase super well. So that has important security and convenience functionality that it's really end user key management. The interesting parallels that our industry should look at are passkeys and the WebAuthn specification, which basically WebAuthn is an authentication protocol at W3C and FIDO, and it wasn't allowed to be used as your primary login until they figured out how to do key recovery. Well, in a lot of places like the Apple Cloud or your Google account,It's really easy to do the key sharing across your different devices so you can sign in across them, right? We have a bit of a different challenge in Web3 where you start with an Ethereum account. Where can you go to keep your stuff in a data vault and share the right keys if that's even the right model? But I think that multiple factors is one important part of account abstraction. And how it impacts that is you'll receive many of the same benefits as WebAuthn when you're using sign-in with Ethereum, in that it would be simple to use across your different devices. And also, it's better for privacy too. If you can spawn a new Ethereum address every time you logged into a new website, but then you wanted to be able to bring part of your credentials to the interaction, you don't want to reveal that they're bound to other Ethereum accounts, that's potentially possible. We need to see some advancements on how we express credentials. Zero knowledge improvements will help in this category quite a lot. Imagine being able to say, hey, I'm logging into your website. You don't know anything about me. You just know I have over 10,000 Twitter followers. And if I log in again, it's going to be the same identifier I give you for your website. You can do a lot with that already, right? Like that prevents all sorts of fraud when people want to do airdrops and everything. So that's one part of account abstraction I think is very constructive. Another part, I think, is sponsored transactions. They used to be called meta transactions back in the day, but the idea is that someone else is going to pay for your transaction, and you don't have to open an account somewhere, connect it to your bank account, get your wallet funded, and then pay the gas fees for any transaction, not even a financial one, right? So the fact that someone else can pay for your transaction makes a lot of these identity-related interactions easier. So those are some things that I'm pretty excited about that account abstraction will bring, and I think it'll improve the user experience, but we'll still have this set of use cases where you have to demonstrate, whether it's in a private message to someone or with a website, you need to demonstrate that you're actually the account holder and you're allowed to do these things.
刚刚的这一段尤其让我们知道说，好，既然我们现在手上有越来越多的个人的资料要自己保管，而不是交给例如说啊放在 Google Drive 上面由 Google 来保管，或者是放在其他的地方，那于是就会有很多的问题出来，就是刚刚Wen 说的最古早时候的这种 C phrase， 大家要想办法保管好。我每次出去演讲的时候，因为我都会尽可能的让所有人都有加密货币的体验，于是我每一场演讲我都是会发10元台币等值的以太币，或者有时候5元啦，给所有人。那所以大家就必须要有可能是 Coinbase Wallet 或者是 Trust Wallet 或者是各种不同的钱包，那他们当然也会马上会遇到私钥或者是 C phrase 要保管的问题。那这种 C phrase 或者是私钥，我都会告诉大家说啊，那这个就是你要想办法保管好。但是这其实是一个现在几乎可以说已经被验证人不擅长做这件事情的一个机制，甚至它是一个非黑即白的一个东西，就是你要嘛就是保管好，要嘛就是哇你被弄丢了，然后你的这个人生就毁了这样子。尤其以前你可能只是钱弄丢了，但是如果我们现在开始要讨论到这种连登入你会有很多的 credential， 你的凭证都透过你的 wallet 来保管的话，有点真的像是我们现在的皮夹这样子，就是物理的皮夹里面除了有放钱之外，你还有放很多的证件，然后这些证件这些身份其实就像是我们现在在用登入用的很多的 credential， 那只是它更复杂一些。那如果这些东西弄丢了，那是一件比现在钱弄丢了来的更大的灾难。于是我们会需要有权限控管，像刚刚 Wen 说的，就是以前我们这种私钥弄丢了它就完全没有了，但是现在你可能透过账户抽象化，你可以说这个你需要有3个签名你才能够做到某些事情，而不会你忽然一个弄丢了那就0或100分，而是你一个签名哦，你可以拿到20%的资产，然后2个签名你可以拿到40%，那3个签名等等的，而且你可以把这些权限放在不同的地方，无论是像最近我就跟我太太分，就是啊，那你有一个这个 YubiKey， 然后我有一个 YubiKey， 然后我们共同可以管理一个东西，那你是我的备份，我是你的备份等等的，那所以我们会有很多不同恢复的方式。那之前有讨论过很多关于这种中文翻译成通行密钥 Passkeys， 它真的是让大家现在开始感觉到，就是说啊，那反正你就秀出你的 Passkeys就可以直接登入，你不需要输入你的密码，然后你也不会有密码被害的问题，因为这些东西放在你的 iCloud 或者是放在你的这个 Google 的云端里面。但是这也会遇到一个问题，就是啊，那 Web3 上面我们现在没有一个地方可以来储存这些东西，对不对？
Yeah. And this would produce a solution for the other issue that you have if you use a popular cloud provider. What if you lose access to your cloud provider, right? Now all your logins are there, right? And like maybe you would have preferred having your browsers store your passwords or something compared to, now I can't access my cloud account anymore with one of these cloud providers. I can't log into anything, right? So I think that having an option where maybe there is a break the glass use case where you get your two YubiKeys together or whatnot, and you're able to formulate your digital self again, like that level of openness, because even if we have passkeys, who holds the passkeys and limit to where they can get replicated? There's a lot of good security reasons to keep those running on only certain devices or accounts and not have them extracted. What if you really want to have a failsafe? You know, like right now, I don't know that there's a strong option for that. And we care about giving individuals more control over their data and the ways they log into services is a big part of that. So we think a lot about this.
你会发现说，从最一开始的这种非常基础的登入，然后登入之后，它其实后面会牵涉非常多的问题，而且甚至我们现在有非常多的资安的问题，都是源自于登入的这一个行为。我们其实没有真的那么能够完全掌控它，于是大家会被钓鱼，然后你的这个密码可能会弄丢。但是现在有一个一个的方式会想要，尤其像刚刚这个 Wayne 在介绍 Spruce ID， 它本质上你可以说它是在用 Web3 的思维来做这整件事情，就是让你从一开始的这种你把这个 credential 或者是你把账号密码存在别人的那里，回头变成是由个人来掌握的数位签章，然后用这种数位登入的方式，你个人持有钥匙、持有资料的方式来使用这个网路。那这个是 Spruce ID 在想要打造的一个新的机制。
Yeah, I think one way to look at it is when people can control private keys to sign things, whether that's through account abstraction or directly controlling a key pair, right? Then you can make digital statements. You can say things like, hey, I made this video. It's not AI generated, or I chose the AI that generated it, right? Things like that. And those statements are very important for you to be able to make and tie to other facts about you. And we want it to happen on your terms, right? So basically, if we look at the use of cryptography, blockchain accounts is one of the most prolific uses of cryptography where people are actively engaging in the keys that they generate and use.
我们之前在可能是跟宝博士访谈的那一集哦，我们正好有讨论到这一个东西，就是说现在 AI 有非常多的 generative contents，那于是在网络上面有非常多的内容看起来好像是真人化的，但是其实是 AI 化的。于是到底未来要怎么去确认说那这个东西是不是有一个可追溯性、可就责性？那现在我觉得 AI 跟 Web3 或者是区块链在做的会说有点互补的这样的感觉，就是区块链它追求的是你的真实性，就是它创造稀缺。一个人那我就是可以告诉你说那这个资产是我的，或者是我在上面签名。但是 AI 它是带来丰盛，也就是它可以创造很多不同的东西，然后 AI 它可以帮你创造非常多不同有趣的内容。但是要怎么把这两件事情结合起来，其中一个我觉得 Wayne 刚给了一个很好的例子，就是那如果之后的内容确实是真人创作的，我可以透过 Web3 的这种 sign in 的方式，或者是签名的方式来告诉你说，哎，这个就是人创作的而不是 AI 创作的，那最后大家自然会去辨认说没有签名的，那自然就会归类成那应该就不是有一个真人去做的这个东西。
Yeah, and it's not even, this problem has been around before AI. We've seen this with code dependencies too. A lot of open source software is not audited and it's used in places, and that's not good. And a lot of, there was a White House executive order talking about software supply chain security.And to me, it's a no-brainer that we should basically, for open source software, we should put attestations about it, represented either on a blockchain or publicly available, so that when you pull in software packages, you can trace the whole history and see everything that people have said about the different packages. You can even filter, you know, the statements made by who? By official security auditor, peer-to-peer review. That would just result in better software security. And I think it's a really, really good use case for a public blockchain. So anyone thinking about building a new company, I think that's a really, really good area to think about.
我觉得现在在讨论这种 Sign-in with Ethereum, 虽然现在我们在 Web3 上面可能还不真的很常看到这样的一个按钮。但是今天 Wan 举了非常多不同的例子，它可能不一定真的是我们现在在想象中的啊，反正就是 DeFi 啊，要不然就是这个登入这个 OpenSea 等等的，而且它甚至只是 Connect Wallet。那未来可能会有非常多不同的应用。但是我想要问 Wan 一个问题哦，就是说，既然现在大家都觉得说 Sign with Ethereum 或者是至少我们在理论上它可以有这么多不同的应用，但是为什么现在我们在网站上面，尤其是在 Web3 的服务上面，还没有那么多的网站他们都直接挂上 Sign with Ethereum？ 有点像我们现在在 Web2 的网站上面，哪一个网站它没有要你登入呢？它基本上都是就是进来之后就是 Sign up 然后 Login， 最好是希望可以认识你是谁，它才能够提供更好的服务。但是为什么现在的 Web3 的 DApp 有一些可能它还是放在 Connect Wallet 而没有 upgrade 到 Sign with Ethereum？ 这是什么样的原因啊？
Yeah, so I think we have over 1,000 known dApps that have integrated, and I think we crossed over 3 million downloads for the base library, you know, pretty recently. So I think we have seen an uptick of people interested in it, but I think that for a lot of people building dApps too, they don't encounter the issues or the benefit isn't clear enough to them just yet. A lot of the functionality I'm talking about, being able to connect to your data vault and bring things to the browser,this functionality is going to exist as the ecosystem builds dApps that need it, right? And there will be companies like Spruce and others that will help serve and provide different pieces of those. But I think it's a part of the larger conversation about cryptocurrencies and blockchain. And there's a lot of factors here, but we just need to see consumer use cases, things that provide value to the end user. For example, there's one application called Blackbird,that is kind of like restaurant rewards, and you can go around and collect those, and they don't talk about anything about what the token price is or anything like that. They're just like, yeah, if you want to book a reservation and collect rewards when you go to restaurants, let's go here, and you can keep your profile, right? So these kinds of end user use cases, I think, inevitably drive other demands for developers. They'll eventually want to store preferences. They'll want to have chat with other users maybe, or support channels. So I think that likeWe are starting to see some sparks and areas of growth in new use cases, and that's exciting. But the winter has not been helpful towards the speed of those developing. So, you know, we've seen 4 or 5 cycles before, and I have no reason to believe we won't see another one. It's just no one knows exactly which applications will take it this time.
我觉得现在看起来应该是已经有一些成果了，只是大家还没有真的普及到可能最常用的这些服务上面去。但是其实我觉得也有一个很简单的问题，就是大家每天日常生活在使用的，例如说啊，他可能都会打开 Gmail， 打开 Instagram， 打开很多的既有的所谓的 Web2 的服务，然后但是其实这些 Web2 的服务他们其实也知道要大家去从这种资安的角度 security issue 想要告诉大家说，哎，这个账号密码其实不安全，所以他们就最近开始去慢慢的增加这个 passkey 的这样的一个机制，让大家改用类似这种公司要的机制来登入，而不是用账号密码。但是Sign with Ethereum 它从名字上面给人就是一种 Web3 的这样的感觉，我不知道你会怎么去看待说啊，我们什么时候或者是说这样的一个 Web2 的服务，他们哪一天可以开放让大家用这种 Web3 的登入的方式，或者说现在已经有我自己有在用 SkiffMail， 那它可能就是可以让你用这个MetaMask 连接钱包，然后你就可以登入。 像是这样的例子，我不知道你会不会觉得他们有这样的动力去做这件事情，还是说这其实是跟他们想要做的这种生意商业模式 business model 是完全不同的，所以他们不可能会去adopt 这种 sign with Ethereum。
I think over time it's going to be less and less attractive for companies to hoard data in certain regulatory environments。So, for example, Taiwan just passed its privacy legislation amendment last November, right? And there's increase in fines in an independent privacy agency for looking after people's data. So basically, does that mean that it's less attractive to hold on to so much of people's data? Would companies rather have that in people's data vaults, right? So I think like those kind of movements can create macro demand for this kind of computer architecture where the data lives with the users and not necessarily in one central place. And then also further, how I view a lot of these authentication tools like passkeys, I think they're great, you know, and I think that many teams right now are looking at how do we use passkey to operate an Ethereum address? And you can think about the precompiles that you would need and how to process different kinds of cryptography that's supported by the phone hardware. And people are looking into that, right? So that as one of the other factors that can be used to control a financial transaction or something else that an Ethereum account can do, that's, you know, one thesis of how it could evolve, where if Ethereum is truly successful in this way, maybe people don't even need to hear about Ethereum. It's just kind of the base layer that has the smart accounts that have different authentication factors. And yes, you sign in with your passkey, but now you're allowed a session where you can operate an Ethereum account and do things with it.
之前我们在讨论 passkeys 跟这个 Web3 钱包连接的时候，我自己心目中觉得这应该是一个使用体验最好的一个状态，因为我最近也是告诉我爸妈，就是说，哎，那你们这 Google 的账号密码，因为你们其实每次都忘记账号密码，只要手机一被登出之后，你就是要问我，我帮你设密码的人说，哎，那你的密码到底是什么？后来我有一次就告诉他们说啊，那你们通通都是来这个指纹都有吧，然后就是升级到 passkeys。所以以后你就不太再需要输入了，他只要叫你这个放指纹，那你就让他扫，然后你就可以直接进去了，你不用再记得这些密码的东西。那其实同样的状态，我们可能是这个密码记得比较多，但也不敢说全部都记得，所以常常还是会需要用到忘记密码。但是既然现在已经有 passkey 这样的一个基础建设，那理论上我们一定会忘记的，或者是我自己肯定不会记得的，就是我的 C phrase。 那如果可以用 C phrase 来当成是大家这个还原钱包的一个方式我的 passkey， 然后这个我太太的 passkey， 我家人的 passkey， 然后共同可以还原这个东西，那弄丢的几率就会比现在来的低得多。这是我觉得很期待的一个状况，但是这其实也跟这整个无论我们刚刚讨论到的背后要有很多的基础建设的成熟，就是 passkey 要成熟， account abstraction 要成熟，他们共同组合起来才会是这一个状态，对不对？
Yeah, and I think that when you can combine all these different forms of authentication, right, it does provide better options for the end user from UX, from security perspective. In fact, like the, for a lot of people, having a seed phrase isn't a great security model because how good is one person at keeping a physical thing very secure, right? Like if that's your true goal, there are a lot of ways to compromise that. You can even imagine security models where the seed phrase you keep so hidden and secret, just one factor. Very strong factor, but maybe you need another one too. So I think that thinking about these models and what are the attacks, and not even attacks, but like what happens when people lose stuff, right? So I think that having some really good answers to that, I mean, this has been a problem plaguing our industry for over 10 years, but I think account abstraction has some promising solutions towards this.
了解，好，现在又解决了一个这种钱包你到底要怎么管理，有这样的一个机制。回头想要问 Wayne 最后一个问题哦，就是说现在可能假设区块是有一些听众，他们是有自己的这个 Web3 的服务，或者是有一些网站，那你会怎么去告诉他说，哎，现在你应该可以试试看 Sign with Ethereum？ 除了像刚刚我觉得这个例子很好，就是现在其实你 持有用户的资料是危险的，如果你万一泄露了这些个资，你是会被罚钱的。像之前这个 Iron 和泰汽车等等的，有很多不同的公司，它开始因为一些意外泄露使用者的个资，于是它就被罚钱，或者是会有其他的责任。那你觉得大家去开始使用这样的 Sign In with Ethereum， 或者是在自己的网站加上这一个按钮的界限在哪里？哪些情况之下你可能会觉得说啊，那反正其实你也可以不需要使用这样的 Web3 的登入，但是如果你是在某些情况的话，那你是会有这样的一个需求，或者是你应该是要这么做的。
So I'd say the two strongest reasons to install Sign In with Ethereum: one, if you already have a dApp and you want to give your users a better user experience,That's a great reason to install it, because then they can authenticate who they are and they can have their sessions. It's kind of like, you know, if you're playing a video game, you don't have to start from the beginning again. You can load at your last checkpoint, right? Well, if they use your service and they set some preferences and they have things that they want remembered about them, then they can load their session with Sign In with Ethereum. When you use that, someone else can't load your session inappropriately.Right. So that's for dApps, it's a very clear benefit. For websites that don't have any blockchain interaction, I'd say this is actually a really good way to bridge the blockchain interaction. Because what you can do is you can ask users who already have their existing accounts to also link their Ethereum accounts if they're willing to do that with you. Now you can understand what their on-chain history is that they wanted to reveal to you by signing in with Ethereum, and combine that with their accounts to provide a better experience.
我一直会觉得这其实对于这个网站的这个管理者或者是开发者来说 ，Sign with Ethereum 它有点像是一个额外的资料来源。你可以除了知道说啊，这个人他现在在你的网站里面做什么之外，你可能透过 Sign In with Ethereum， 你还可以知道他的 on-chain history， 知道说、他在这个区块链上面做了哪些事情，于是你可以有点像是交叉比对。有时候有一些人，就像现在有一些人，他的银行存款是远低于他的链上存款的，那所以你只有看他的这个银行存款，你可能没有办法认识他到底是一个什么样的人，但是哎，你从他的 Ethereum address 上面你就会知道，哦，那他好像是一个有钱人，他有很多的 Ether， 他是怎么样，所以那个是一个有点像是互补的概念，而不是一个就是啊，你非得要选一个的这样的感觉。
Yeah.And if you're a crypto exchange, it makes a lot of sense, because you might want to give some premium features, you know, to this user, even if they don't have a history with you. And it's a great example of someone being able to bring their data around and getting value in other places. Many wallets are more and more improving themselves so that they're able to make new accounts every time you visit a website to make sure that you're only revealing what you want to.So if you want to use your main trading account to show, hey, here I am, you can do that. But maybe the default can be, here's a brand new account with no history.
我不知道其他人有没有兴趣啊，但是我自己是非常有兴趣的，就是我自己在做这种最近才刚完成区块市会员的年度问卷满意度调查。其中有一题就会问大家说，哎，你到底是参与这个 Web3 大概几年了，你有多少的这种经验，我想要知道说会来订阅区块市、阅读区块市，它到底是一个Web3Newbie 还是 Web3 OG， 所以说不定你是曾经经历过2016年的 The DAO Hack。 那所以其实我现在的填写的方式是请大家自己去填写年份，自己拉年份，但是更好的方式应该是我可以直接让大家 Sign In with Ethereum， 然后我直接从你的链上记录，我大概就知道说啊，那虽然你说你这个五年，但是你链上的这个记录可能非常的少，那就代表说啊，你可能绝大多数的 crypto 都是放在中心化的交易所里面，而不是放在链上。那或者是哎，你可能才刚使用一年，但是你在链上的记录非常的活跃，那代表另外一种人。那所以这其实是一个额外的资料来源。
It lets you use your blockchain data in a much more useful fashion. But I think the other point is, like, this is also why it's not appropriate to put everything on the blockchain, right? At least not a public unencrypted blockchain, because that's why I think that we need these data vaults to go with the blockchain that hold things under permission access. So in addition to maybe your base blockchain history, or maybe none of it if you choose, you can share specific facts from your data vault, or maybe you can link other accounts as well. So that's where we want to go.
我觉得 这里其实还可以往后讨论哦，例如说大家现在在讨论我刚刚想到这种 on-chain history， 它其实现在是相当的公开透明的，但是我一直会很好奇，因为其实同样有一个 research track 是关于 zero knowledge 的一个研究、那 on-chain history 链上的记录这么的公开透明，我不知道它能不能算是一个 feature， 还是它是一个还没有完全开发好，零知识证明还没有准备好的一个还没成熟的状态。因为其实大家的资料不应该这么的公开透明，被所有人都可以看得到，应该是它要有 selective privacy 的方式。
I think that the zero knowledge landscape is evolving really quickly. What we can see zero knowledge do today, I think, is really impressive compared to even 1 year ago. And we have a whole bunch of L1s that incorporate layer one blockchains that can be EVM compatible. And by the way, signing with Ethereum is compatible with any EVM blockchain, not just Ethereum mainnet. That's an interesting thing to note too. But basically, as we haveshielded blockchains that were kind of like Monero or Zcash, but the computations themselves are shielded. Basically, those can be data that you might be able to reveal part of an interaction. There's already projects on mainnet. If you look at Interrep, and then I think there was one called Semaphore in Ethereum, and also one called Sysmo, a protocol, they allow you to express things like,I belong to this group of Ethereum accounts, but I'm not going to tell you which Ethereum account I am, right? So maybe we can have one big group of Ethereum accounts with over, you know, $5 in them, right? And that's one group, or even $5,000 or $5 million, whatever, right? Then you can prove membership in that group. One of the important things to consider here is, well, how small is that group? Because if there's only two people or three people and I show that I'm one of them, it might not be too hard to guess exactly who I am, right? So we have this idea of herd privacy that we have to consider too for these use cases. So those are some thoughts about how it all comes together. I think it will. We're not there yet, but it's quickly evolving.
我自己今天录完会有一种总复习的感觉，就是我们在讨论 Web3 的很多不同的概念，从这种社交恢复，或者是这种账户抽象化，或者是你的资料是由自己管理，而不是由这个中心化的机构替你管理，一直到后面这种零知识证明的一个机制，你会发现这其实就是在 Web3 领域里面的不同的 elements， 但是他们其实都跟这个 sign in 有关系。因为你刚刚说这个其实 sign in with Ethereum 它不一定只能用在 Ethereum， 它其实是可以用在所有的 EVM chain， 对不对？它应该要叫做什么 sign in with EVM。
Yeah, it could be machine to machine too. Like we could write a bot that has Ethereum keys and it could use sign in with Ethereum with another bot, right? So although, you know, how it got traction is drawing the analogy to signing into a website, it really just is authentication, proving that you're the account holder and then even more things about yourselfAt your terms. Yeah, I think that future of signing with Ethereum is open-ended. It's actually a pretty simple protocol. You could probably read it in like an hour, right? But the idea is that we got the community to adopt it. That's thousands of dApps, major wallets support it and use it to protect their users. And it is very much, I would say, one of the main ways that you would consider adding login to your dApp, right? So where we go from there,you know, are we going to live in the world of data vaults where every wallet account, every Ethereum address has 100 terabytes of storage behind it, right? Because imagine what you could do with that kind of internet, high bandwidth, high storage, et cetera. As we evolve towards that, it's only going to be paved out using use cases. So if you're making a gaming dApp, or you're making the next generation DeFi protocol, or you're creating, you know, a social dApp, then...And you identify, you know, the use cases where this is valuable. It's really how the protocol grows and serves these different use cases. So just please be in touch and feel free to reach out if you have any of those thoughts.
我觉得如果你是一个个人，你想要去支持这种三因为 Ethereum 的话，其中几个方法我们刚刚有讨论到，如果你是这种网站的 builder 或者是你是一个 developer， 你可以想办法去把 Sign-in-with Ethereum embedded 到你的网站上面去，有哪些需求是对你有好处的。但是如果你是一个 user 的话，我觉得刚刚 Wen 提到一个我觉得蛮有趣的，就是你应该要回头告诉你的 wallet provider， 就是无论你使用哪一种 wallet， 可能是 IAM token， 可能是 Trust Wallet 等等，对，你要告诉他说，哎，你可应该使用 Sign-in with Ethereum， 你应该要 support 这样的一个机制，可以让我们可以有，例如说啊，那不会被 phishing， 不会被钓鱼的风险，或者是未来有其他的好处。那这是从个人的使用者，你可以去促使或者是你可以去告诉这些网站的开发者，告诉他说，哎，你应该可以这么做，那可以帮助我们，可以保护我们的安全，这是你应该要做的事情。或许大家如果你是一个 user， 你觉得说啊，那反正我好像被宰制，没有没有没有， wallet provider 他们都很希望说找到你为什么会来使用我们这个服务的一个很重要的理由，那所以你应该要告诉他说，哎，看谁先支援，那我就会使用你这样子。
For developers, if you go to login.xyz, it's the fastest way to get started if you're curious about how it looks. It's open source. It's a Creative Commons standard. So it's none of it is, you know, a product. It is just for the community, public good.
好，那我觉得今天非常感谢 Wen 来跟我们讨论 Sign with Ethereum， 这是一个非常重要的题目，因为绝大多数人你到了Web3 网站上面去，第一件事情它就是叫你 connect wallet， 但是现在大家知道说 connect wallet 跟 sign with Ethereum 之间的关系，以及好，我们接下来可以用 Web3 登入之后，它后面牵扯到的这么多不同的议题，他们都是在发展中的阶段，现在可能你会用起来有点，用台语说有点落差落差，就是会觉得好像没有那么的顺畅，你可能有时候会担心说你的这种保管会怎么样，你的隐私会怎么样，但是这些今天Wen 他我觉得涉猎非常的广泛，就是他会告诉你说啊，那现在这跟账户抽象化有什么关系，跟零知识证明有什么样的关系，跟我们现在在看到的这些新的技术有什么样的关系，这是我觉得今天非常有收获的地方。谢谢 Wen， 这一集非常的扎实。
Astor, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
好，那如果今天大家觉得内容非常有趣的话，欢迎你到这个 Google 上面搜寻区块市，然后用付费订阅支持区块市的营运。那当然也欢迎你在这个 Apple Podcast、Spotify 或者是你任何收听的这个平台上面留言跟我们互动。那如果你对于 Sign with Ethereum 有兴趣的话，我也会附上 Spruce ID 的网页。之前我上去的时候，它有一些体验，可以让你知道说，哎，这个 Sign in with Ethereum 到底是一个什么样的感觉，那里面还有一些文章啦，那我们就下礼拜再见咯，拜拜
拜拜。